Hello again, everyone. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm going to introduce you to a new guest today, someone that I've not had the honor to speak with before, but I'm excited about it. One of you heard me not excited to spend time with the men and women of God that are sent to this studio. I'm always excited to see what God has next, and I'm never disappointed. Every show brings something I didn't expect. The Holy Spirit shows up. The power of God is here with us. And I'll tell you what, there's never been a better topic for the power of God to show off than when we're going to deal with anointed healing, or just as simple as the name of the book is Our Healing Covenant. God's promises for divine health. Think of that, Our Healing Covenant. So that's a lot stronger. You know, the cessationists are going to have problems with this because we're going to look at, we're not going to get to all of them today, but maybe one or two, 7,500 verses that deal in some way or another with healing. And then we have a man of God to teach it to us today and to tell us about. I was kidding with him but when we started a pre-interview, and I asked him about the weight of this book because I found myself curling it on the way down the hall. It's a great big heavy book. It's like a textbook from some advanced class in college I used to teach, probably one of my advanced marketing classes I taught, because those books were thick and heavy, and this is one of them. And it's been a long time since I held a book like this, but it sure makes me smile. I love it. It's going to have a place in my heart as well. And, you know, someone my age, I want to keep a healing book real nearby so I can read these verses every day. So I want to just tell you a little bit about Dr. Chip. Dr. Chip Bolio is the guest. He's the founder of Word of Truth Church in Dayton, Tennessee. And he doesn't know that I was educated at the University of Memphis. That's where I was the first marketing PhD. So I was alone up there on that stage with Dr. Carpenter, and I got my hood and looked in the eyes of my wife, who was sitting in the cheap seats in the bleachers, and we just had a moment, you know, 3 years of struggling through to get that degree. So I've got a lot in my heart about Tennessee. Mostly, I was glad to leave Tennessee with degree in hand. That's hard enough to do. But Dr. Chip was in the ministry of Helps for many years before becoming a full-time pastor. Dr. Bolio has traveled to many countries preaching the gospel, and his strong teaching anointing, and you'll hear it today, has touched many lives. And many have been healed in his services. Now that should get your attention. 2015, he started a weekly healing school service where he teaches on the subject of divine healing. He spent a lot of time on this book. It's well put together. It's very theologically sound, of course, because it's the scripture. But you're going to also find it's approachable, readable, and a great book to have in your bed at night if you start to worry. Get out a flashlight in this book. And, well, the Bible will work pretty good, too. But you got all the verses in one place here. So without further yapping on my part, Dr. Chip Bolio, welcome to the Green Lines Podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Green, and welcome back to Tennessee, a beautiful state.
It's good, and you're actually winning a couple football games. That's the miracle.
You must have prayed
for your football team.
Well, we do. We're not sure if that really helps or not, but it's worth a shot anyway.
That's right. Well, you took a coach from Florida, University of Central Florida, so we're glad to lend him to you. He's good. He's going to win, I hope.
Yeah. Well, he's got a good school to start with. So
that's right.
Good foundation to start with.
I love that stadium. There's just something about it. So, brother, let's go to work on the book itself. Now, did you know when you started it, you're going to have a mammoth book of this size, something that you'll give to your grandkids and they'll drop it because they can't hold it?
No, you know, I started looking at this, you know, of course, like you said, I started the healing school in 2015. And so just before that, I thought, you know, I need a good reference of all the healing scriptures. And, you know, because, you know, I've seen them before and they may have, you know, a lot of scriptures, but I wanted to be a thorough list of all the verses in the Bible. So I started with that list and I thought, well, you know, it'd be good to have additional translations. And, you know, you're probably familiar with the 10 or 15 that, you know, most word people, faith people use, you know, a lot of times. And I started with that. And then, you know, 6 years later, I got done with it. So it's been a great journey, though. So we sure enjoyed it.
Well, and you should. You've done well. And so I guess the original inspiration was for your school to get you a really good textbook for school. And I can imagine coming into class with this book in my hands. It looks a lot more approachable than that chemistry book I carried that was about this big. I did not do so well in chemistry. But yeah, I think I'd do okay and with all the verses in this book.
Yeah, well, of course, it's just the word, right? So the majority of the book is just Bible verses. And so it's, and that was really the intent is, you know, have a reference book. And it's really a reference book, you know, it's not something you just sit down and read cover to cover. But anytime that, you know, there's aches or pains show up, you know, you go read a couple hundred verses out of that book and, you know, it helps build your faith back up and ready to tackle the world, you know. So.
Well, that's what I want to tackle with you, brother, is that I do think it's a book you sit in your chair with nice magic markers. Well, not those kind, but highlighters, maybe some ribbons to mark places, but to set about to start with page one and just have read in one place every verse that deals with the healing covenant. And, you know, I see so much good that can come from that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you did that cover to cover, I could guarantee, you know, we'd give a money back guarantee, but I guarantee that your faith will increase in the area of healing because, you know, it's just the word, right? So, I love it. You know, I still read it and go back and look at all the different translations. So,
how many translations do you have in the book?
I think there's about 450 translations total in the book. You know, we started with probably total looked at about 1,000 different translations, but you know, a lot of them are duplicates, very similar. And I think in total, we probably read between my wife and I, and even some other friends, probably 100,000 different verses in, you know, close to 1,000 different translations. And then we whittle those down and, you know, pick the best ones for each verse and then ended up with about 430 translations total used in the actual book. So. Yeah, there's a lot of good material there.
Well, I'm curious about the healing covenant. I haven't seen those two words before. I think you've done well at putting that in as your title. So teach that a little bit, where it's a lot different than the question you get asked, does God still heal? Is he going to be available on Sunday morning at the altar for us or Thursday night in my bed where I can pray for my own personal healing? How does the healing covenant affect my faith?
Well, it goes back, you know, I think the foundation for that goes back to the very beginning, really in the book of Exodus, when the Lord's talking to Moses. And he says, you know, that famous phrase there in Exodus 15:26, it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And, you know, in the original language, it says, I am Jehovah Rapha. So it's the first time that the Lord spoke those two words together, that I am Jehovah, right, the God that I am. But then he also said, I am Rapha, the Lord who heals.
Yes.
And so he was making a covenant with Israel at that point in time that, you know, this is not just something that I do, this is something that I am. And that was part of the original covenant with the whole nation of Israel. And of course, we get to take advantage of that, you know, as Christians in the Christian church. And so, you know, the genesis of that was all the way back with the Lord, you know, when he spoke to Moses. And you know, and in all of these studies, one of the things that we dealt with at the very beginning was about the will of God. Like you said, is it God's will to heal me? And that's usually the first question that most people have. You know, is it God's will to heal? And if you'll read these verses, you'll come to the same conclusion that we have, which is it's God's will to heal, really every single time without a single exception for all of humanity. And that sounds like a radical statement, but it's really not. You know, it's a covenant statement. And so it is God's will to heal all of us all the days of our lives.
Amen. So, in other words, we have such a strong promise, not just a suggestion or a theory that at one time the Lord healed, that we are still in a relationship with the Lord that allows the covenant to take authority over our disease.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the covenant. And, you know, the Lord's never stopped being who he is. And if he was Jehovah Rapha with Moses and the children of Israel, he's still Jehovah Rapha with us today. And that's really a fundamental principle that we have to get in our hearts, that God desires to heal me. And then we can figure out the rest of it. You know, because sometimes, you know, healing doesn't always happen immediately. It didn't even happen immediately every single time in the ministry of Jesus. There were some times where it delayed, or, you know, sometimes he had to pray for people even twice. Sometimes they were healed as they went. And so sometimes there seems like there's a delay, but oftentimes it'll cause us to question, well, maybe God's not going to heal me this time. And if you can get it settled in your heart that God's desire is to heal you every single time, not a single exception, then you can go from there and figure out, well, maybe there's something, you know, maybe there's something else that I need more information, or I need to build my faith up. But it's not got anything to do with God's will. So that's already established from his covenant. And then the rest of it we can figure out as we go along.
That's right. That's really good. So is there a translation in particular that really speaks to you better, or would speak to the average Christian in some way more powerfully? How do you feel about these translations?
Well, it's probably like asking, you know, who your favorite child is, right? I've been with these translations for all these years, but, you know, there was one translation, I think it was Conybeare's translation from William Conybeare. He wrote the translation in about 1864. And for about 60 years or so, there was dozens and dozens of revisions to this translation. And it was very popular, even around the world, in Europe and in North America and different places. And then it just went away, right? It's not in print anymore. It hasn't been in print probably over 100 years. He mentions just one example. He used a translation in the book of Romans, chapter 4, where, you know, in the King James, it says that Abraham was not weak in faith. But in Conybeare's translation, it said that he was having no feebleness in his faith. And so it's translations like that that, you know, really brings out some more information about the verse, gives you another way to look at the verse and some insight to the verse. So I've been a big fan of Conybeare's translation for a long time, and he just did the New Testament, really just Paul's epistles. So you'll end up finding particular translations that you see, and you can recognize the tone of the author and kind of develop a relationship with these different translations. So they're really good. So his was just an exceptional translation.
Well, that means a lot. And if you were just going to talk with anyone to do a basic survey of the healing scriptures, would that be the translation you select?
Well, for that particular verse, yeah, there's so many. One of the things that you learned along the way was, for example, with Robert Young's translation. Most of us know Young's literal translation. But in his translation, when if you want a translation that kind of brings out some good insight, he was always emphasized the verb tense. And what he found was a lot of verb tenses were really either a present tense or a continuous tense. And so we mentioned Exodus 15:26. It said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. But he brought it out that says, it's really saying, I, Jehovah, am healing thee. So a lot of his verses will show that it's a continuous present action of things. And so if you read the verses that we've included in our book in Young's translation, you'll get that sense of, you know, these are really not a one-time event or a past tense event. This is a present continuous event.
So I'm trying to get you pinned down to something that our audience can really, I mean, you theologians, you know, you're tough to get pinned down to one thing, but very practically, say the top five translations, the usable translations you'll see in churches across America. It sounds to me like you'd be leaning NASB. Of some of that group or not? Have I read you wrong?
No, I think the NASB is an excellent translation. It's, you know, it's a very sound, technically correct translation. In fact, it's been one of my favorite ones for a long time, the NASB too. And a lot of times I'll read the Old Testament in the NASB because it just, it's very readable, very approachable, but it's also easy to understand. But it's also technically correct as far as I can, you know, as far as I've looked at over the years. So, yeah, I like that translation.
And I really like the update in 2020, the NASB 20. Mm-hmm. And I think they dropped that 20 designation now, but it's really good. And there's other strong, you know, NKJV is fine. The new King James is fine. I'm careful with easy-to-read translations or, you know, the commentaries and translations that really help novices to read the Bible and to get through it. I really like them in purpose. But for doing Bible studies like these where you're going to memorize and learn them, I'd rather have the as close to the original as I can get. How do you feel about that? Does it even matter?
Well, I think that's a good point. You know, if you want the most accurate translations, that's important. The thing that I found in all these translations is, of course, you know, some of them were just frivolous and we just, you know, kind of didn't even bother with those. You know, people just weren't really trying to put a good product together, a good translation together. But even some of the paraphrases, you know, one of the things that we mentioned early in the book there was when St. Augustine was around, he actually, this quote's actually in the original King James Bible, and it says that a variety of translations is profitable for the finding out the sense of the scriptures. And that was kind of the foundation of us going and searching out these scriptures. And yeah, there's some of them that are paraphrased, but really every translation, no matter how technical it is, they all have to be paraphrases to an extent, because you're taking sure. one language and converting it to another. So, you know, so sometimes people say, well, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but really all of them are paraphrases. And so you kind of have to read the translation for yourself and see, you know, is this author really trying to make a good faith effort of, you know, divining what the Lord's trying to say? And it seems like every generation we have, you know, really intelligent people that have that gift to be able to translate the Word of God in these new translations. And we cover translations all the way back from Tyndale's translation in 1534 to I think the last one was 2019. So we cover, you know, hundreds of years of translations just in this book. And yeah, some of them are, I would consider more accurate, but a lot of them bring out, you know, a flavor of a particular word that's, you know, really helpful. I'm not real adamant about, you know, well, I would never read that translation. You know, I usually read the introduction to the translation and find out what the author's intent was, and I kind of take it from there. So, yeah.
So if we keep plowing through this, I think we should probably talk about who you wrote it for. Who was your intended reader, the audience? Who were you having in mind as you labored over this great work?
Well, like I said, it's a reference book. So that was really my intention, is I wanted the students of healing, people that wanted to know about healing. The number one thing that I think is important is to build your faith up in this topic. And of course, you know, we all have read dozens of books about healing, which they're all great and wonderful. And I have many of them in my library, but there's really no substitute for just the scripture itself, just the Word of God. And so you're going to build your faith up always on the Word first, and then, you know, other people's works and information can help you gain insight to those things. But your faith itself will always be based upon on the Word. And so this book is really for people that are wanting to develop faith in, you know, the covenant of healing that the Lord has provided for us. And so maybe, you know, you've not grown up with healing, or maybe, you know, your church hasn't taught healing, or, you know, we have people that come to healing school. We intend to intentionally set up in the afternoons so that we can have other visitors, churches, other people from churches to come and then just sit in on healing class. And so, you know, a lot of the folks that come, their church doesn't teach healing, so they come and want to learn about healing. So it's really for folks like that that want to know and build up their faith just in that particular topic.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So as we go further and we think deeper into where this book can go, and I mean, it's not the kind of book you buy for a friend that you sit next to in church that got sick. You probably would buy them a little simpler book. But as we target people, what is it in particular that you hope we look for? How do I use this book most effectively?
Well, I kind of joked with a friend of mine that as I finished up the book, I said, you know, after reading all those verses, I start to actually believe in healing, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I've always believed in healing. You know, when I got saved as a teenager, I got saved in a word church, you know, charismatic church.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always believed in healing. But, you know, I can say now, even after all these years of teaching healing school every single week, but going through the process of this, my firmness of belief in healing is just unshakable now. There's, you know, there's never a time when I think, well, maybe God's not going to heal me, or, you know, I wonder if it's going to work this time. It's really has given me such a strong faith and confidence in the whole topic of healing. And that's really what my desire is, for people to have strong faith and confidence that God's will is to heal them every single time. And there's never an exception, in that we can live an entire life on this earth in divine health. And then when it's time to go home to be with the Lord says, just turn the light off on the way out and come on home. And and that's really, look at Moses' example. You know, he lived to be 120 years old. And the last thing the Bible says about him is that he lived to be 120 years old, and his eyes were not dim, and his natural force was not abated. And that's my desire, is to live an entire life strong and healthy, to complete everything that the Lord desires for me to complete in the earth, and then go home. And that's my plan and goal. We're not done yet, so we have plenty more work to do. But and I think if you read this book with that thought in mind of developing your faith in that, that you can come to that same conclusion of God's desire for that.
Well, brother, just as we try to wrap up, we're getting close to the end of time. How did you go about the final decision on which verse would come in the book and which one wouldn't?
Well, of course, my wife and I did a lot of the work. There was so much involved in it. We even got a friend of ours to, we just looked at for every verse. We first put the master copy together, which was, you know, like I said, as many as 900 translations for each verse. And then we just read them. We read them each verse about three different times. And then, you know, we said, well, these are pretty close together. So we'd kind of set one aside. And so every verse doesn't have 400 translations. You know, some verses only have a few, because a lot of times the translations were, the words were very easy to translate. And so they ended up being very similar. So, but then you get some translations, some verses, and it seems like some translations are really, that either the Hebrew word or the Greek word that formed those verses were big words, and the translators had so many different ways to translate it. And so you'll find some verses have many, many translations, because it seemed as though the translators had to come up with multiple ways to really express the thought in the original language there. So we would go through every single verse and read all the translations, and they were in so many different formats, and hard copies and digital and every kind of way we can imagine. And then we would just mark them and put them down. Okay, this is the final version. So it took several readings of all of those verses to come to that final result, but it was sort of worth the effort.
Well, that's important to hear, and I'm sure. What kind of feedback are you getting from it, from those who've lugged it around with them, opened it up on their desk? What are you hearing from people who've read it?
Well, the people that typically get the kind of book like this, you know, word people, faith people, healing people, and all of them have been ecstatic about it. And we had one church, I don't remember, they bought just the one church, a couple hundred copies of it, just to give people. And so they've been really thrilled with it. And everybody who picks it up and looks at it that appreciates the topic of healing has always given us great feedback, that this is just a great reference book, great material, great information. So we've heard a lot of good feedback on the book so far.
Well, that's great. So I like to end every podcast with something practical. What I'd like to do, instead of talking about healing verses, is why don't you share two or three that someone who is in need of healing right now could pray these prayers tonight and feel a connection to the Lord, draw closer. We're not going to promise anything. We'll just hold our faith and our covenant with these healing verses. But I'd like to ask you, Pastor, to share two or three main verses for those who are listening now, to make it practical, pray these prayers, these verses tonight as a prayer, and have faith believing.
Yeah, I think that'll be great there. So let's see. I think there's so many good ones to pick from, but I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 9 here, I think. And so a lot of times what we'll do is we'll read these. The verse here, this is in Matthew 9:35. And so all of these verses always start with the King James Version. And this one says, "And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And then what you'll find is you'll go through then and start looking at the different translations, and especially that part where it says that he's healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Then you start going through the translations, and I'm not going to read all the details, but you'll find that key words of that where it says, for example, that he was curing all kinds of diseases and every weakness and infirmity. And he was making well all sorts of diseases and pains, and he healed all the sick and weak people. And he healed all kinds of diseases and sicknesses and cured every sickness and every ailment among the people and every kind of disease and sickness. And let's see, healing all kinds of diseases and sickness. He was demonstrating his mission by healing every disease and sickness. And so you could go on, and that's usually what I do is I'll pick up those key words. So the key is that every sickness, no matter what it was an ailment, it was a sickness, it was a disease, it was a malady, and he cured them, and he healed them, and he provided healing for all of these cases. So and that's what you'll end up doing is you'll keep that whatever the key part of that verse that the Lord is speaking to you about curing every sickness and disease, then that's what you'll end up seeing in each of those other translations. And that encourages my faith every time that I do that. So, and that's what I'd like for the folks to know is, you know, you can see how the Lord really desires to heal you in all different ways, no matter what it is, and that no matter what it's called, he will heal you.
Amen. What a great place to end the podcast, sir. I think he will heal you is a nice thing to hear. The name of the book is Our Healing Covenant. The author, you've heard from me, the assembler, the compiler. It's God's Promises for Divine Health by Dr. Chip. My friend, man, I just really have enjoyed speaking with you. I hope that you feel free to come back on the show anytime and tell us about what you're up to next.
Absolutely. Amen. Appreciate it, Dr. Green. It's good to talk to you, and welcome back to Tennessee again.
I'm glad to be back. I love talking to a fellow Memphis State Tiger, even though you might be some other version down there. Where are you in the state? I know the city name. I know Dayton, but I don't know where it is.
That's just north of Chattanooga, really, in East Tennessee. Okay. So Memphis, of course, West Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
We're over at East Tennessee on the other end.
Yeah. When we lost, they called us Arkansas. And sometimes yep. Mississippi.
Yeah.
My guest has been Dr. Chip Bolio. What a great man and a great book, The Our Healing Covenant. Listen to that pronoun, ours. It's our healing covenant. I hope you buy this book. I hope you use it for reference, to study, to show yourself approved, to believe, to shore up your faith, to go to that place of believing that God is a healing God. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my great producer, Adley, we like to say at the end of every podcast, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Get a hold of this healing book. You'll have an abundant life for sure. God bless you all.